to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. And as we said, we're beginning a brand new series on the life of Peter, and I hope that it will encourage you, challenge us. And, you know, again, the timing of the Lord, and I believe, is always right. And this is something that we have been mentioning for quite some time now about making disciples. And that's really what this whole theme is about in this whole series. Let me just take a quick peek. I want to say there are 13 lessons in the series. And let's see here. Yes, there's 13, so all types of topics will be covered. And today, the theme of the lesson is a lesson on beginning. A lesson on beginning. And then all sorts of things. I won't take the time to read all those. But 13 lessons from the life of Peter. Today, we come to a very familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure. Right before the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus here is by the Sea of Galilee. Let's read verse 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service already. Thank you for the scripture reading. Thank you for the prophecy that is fulfilled over and over again in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned that again this morning. Thank you for the time of singing. And Lord, just now as we open your word in this beginning of this service, God, that you would be glorified and you would guide and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me remind you as well, parents, that we have the Sunday school lesson for the young people on the website. And I've noticed that that lesson time, it's just growing. It's growing and growing. And so you're going to need about 50-some minutes to get through it today. But there's it's not preaching the whole time, although that would be good, right? There's some other things involved in that. And the girls have done a great job, and we praise the Lord for it. So just a reminder that it's there, anchoredinjesus.com. The children's Sunday school lesson is there for you. Okay, so lesson number one, the theme is a lesson on beginning. Before we jump into the outline, though, what I'm encouraged by this, what we learn from this, is that every believer has a specific calling for our life. Now, you look at Peter and you look at Andrew and you think, man, that must have been amazing to have Jesus come and talk to them and say, you know, follow me and I'll have you to become fishers of men. But I want to encourage you this morning that this calling and this leading in the life of a believer was not just for Peter. It wasn't just for Andrew. It wasn't just for the 12 disciples. It wasn't just for the early church. It's for us today. It is not just specific, but it is specially designed for you and for me. God has a perfect will for you and for me. And that's something that we're going to be learning as we go through this series. Before, though, we get into the outline of Peter's life, we must recognize that every believer, there is a twofold purpose as to why we were created. Now, many of you may know these already, but we're going to go ahead and give them to you again. It's not part of the outline. There's a twofold purpose as to why we were created. Number one, we were created to bring glory to God. We were created to bring glory to God for His pleasure. You know what it says in Revelation 4:11? I just gave you the second one. That's okay. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, I'll go reverse order. Glory to God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that would really help us how we live our life day by day, wouldn't it? Does this bring glory to God? Does this bring glory to God? Does this activity, does this what I'm doing, I'm thinking, and just really, does it bring glory to God? The second one was we were created for His pleasure. We were created for His pleasure. And that's Revelation chapter 4:11, which says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure They are and were created. So we were created to bring glory to God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. We were created to bring pleasure to God, Revelation 4:11. This is all a part of every believer's life. Again, it does not matter if you have a Christian background, brought to church as a child, or maybe as an adult. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. You're saved, and I'm saved today to bring glory to God and to bring pleasure to God. Now, as we consider, though, this text of Scripture, lesson number one, a lesson on beginning, let's look at the outline. Number one, we see the calling. The calling. In verse number 19, the Bible says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me. Follow me." This is the calling. Christ is continually calling believers to do certain things. You've probably heard this before. We were not saved to sit and do nothing. We were saved to serve God. We were saved to serve. And that's exactly what this calling is on your life and mine. Again, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You were saved to serve. It doesn't matter if you went to Bible college or not. You were saved to serve. And that's what Jesus Christ is calling us to do. He's calling us to hear. But then he's calling us to heed. You know, we can hear all day long, but if we don't heed, and that means obeying. So we want to be hearers of the, doers of the word, and not hearers only. And so the call is still there. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. So if you're saved, then you're going to hear, not necessarily, you know, "Hello, Andrew, I need you to do this today." Not necessarily is it going to be quite like that, okay? That was your mother when you were younger, right? And your mother would say that, "Hello, Andrew, wake up!" You know? No, it doesn't really happen like that. But inside of us as believers, we have the Holy Spirit of God who's constantly saying, "Hello, Ben, I've got a work for you to do today." As we open the Bible, we open the mind of God. Remember, when we open the Bible, we open the mind of God. And if we're reading through the pages of Scripture and we're learning things that we don't want to do, we're learning things that we should do, God is speaking to us, not just to hear, but to heed, to put it into practice, to take the orders from headquarters, if you will, and apply them to our life. You know, then it is expected that as we listen to, that we would follow our shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. If you're saved today, God is working, God is moving, God is leading you to follow him. It is the calling, number one. I want you to go, leave your place in Matthew's gospel and turn over to Luke 6, please. Luke chapter number 6. And I want us to see a very thought-provoking statement made by Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord? And why call ye me Lord, Lord?" Notice, "and do not the things which I say." You call me Lord, you call me Savior, you call me your King. You call me all of these things, and Jesus says, "Why are you calling me this, but you're not obeying me? Why are you calling me Lord, but you don't follow the instructions?" And so this calling that God has for you and for me today, it's for every believer. For every believer, the calling. Christ's call never leaves. Christ's call never leaves. It's always there. The key is, are we attentively listening for the voice of God? James 1:22-25 talks about that. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. For if any man be a hearer and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass." James 1:24, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth I want to encourage you today, continue in the things of the Lord, but continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So number one, we have the calling. It was not just for Peter, it's for you and for me today. Letter A, let's see the person of the call. The person of the call. Now, there are calls everywhere. There are calls everywhere all the time for you and for me. I'm not talking about a telephone call. But there is stuff pulling for our attention all the time. Everywhere we turn, work is calling. Family are calling. Again, nothing wrong with these. Friends are calling. However many ways in which you can think about it, calls are happening all the time. But the Bible here tells us there was one in this story, the person of the call, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one making the call. He's the one imploring Peter, follow me. Andrew, follow me. His call must be preeminent. His call must supersede every other call. Now, by the way, his call will not cause us to contradict things in his word. Okay? Don't get this idea that if you're going to follow the call of God that you neglect your family. That doesn't make sense. Because the Bible says husbands love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It talks about nurturing our children. It talks about training our children and on it goes. And it talks about wives submitting to the husband. It talks about all of this. And no, to follow Christ doesn't mean to neglect the family. No, all of this works together for good. When we have Christ preeminent in our life, when we have the call of God preeminent in our life, these other relationships will be in their rightful place. But I'll tell you what happens when something gets out of line over the call of God in our life, over the call of the Lord Jesus in our life, then everything else will be in disarray. So it is very important to recognize, letter A, the person of the call. Peter could accept this call with confidence because who gave it to him? And can I encourage you today? You can accept the call of God on your life with confidence because God loves you. Think about this. You say, what if God calls me to go to the mission field? Great, go to the mission field. Why? Because God loves you. And God would not call you to the mission field unless God had a specific purpose for you doing that. And that's exactly what happens here. The Lord's call, just like Peter, we can trust the Lord's call because it always leads to what is best. Think of that. Oh, boy, I didn't think this was what was best for my life in 2020. No, that's because you're not God. That's because I'm not God. But God knows what is best for me. God knows what is best for you. He is the person of the call. Jesus is the person of the call here in this text. But he's also the person of the call today. Well, then letter B, not only do we see the person of the call, but letter B, we see the purpose of the call. Well, what was Jesus Christ's purpose? You remember that verse in Luke 19:10? We've said it many, many times. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the primary purpose, to do the will of his Father, which in turn meant to seek and to save that which was lost. The purpose of the call for us today is the very same call that it was for Peter. Notice, if you will, in your Bible there, verse number 19. He said, I will make you. I will make you. Here's the purpose of the call. Jesus was going to make Peter a fisher of men. They definitely knew what it meant to be a fisherman. They definitely knew what it meant to fish for fish. And now, though, Jesus is saying, the purpose of this call is that you would no longer fish for these slimy fish in the Sea of Galilee, but that you would go and fish for wicked sinners like me, like you, and bring the message of salvation to them. Do you know the purpose of the call of every believer is the identical purpose of the call for Peter? God did not save me not to tell someone else how to be saved. God did not save you not to tell someone else how to be saved. God saved us so we could pass the message along. Isn't it great that we have some good news to give people, no matter what year, no matter what month it is? The gospel is that. It's good news, isn't it? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of the call. And today, God is calling Christians like you and like me to go with the gospel. We can read about that in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. We can read about it. How about let's go over to John 15 quickly. John 15. The purpose of the call. John 15 in verse number 16. John 15 in verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should, what's the next word? Go. You're not saved to sit. You're not saved to stay. You're saved and I'm saved to go. You know, go is action, isn't it? You know, if I sit in that chair all day long right there and say, I'm going somewhere, you'd think, Pastor, you're crazy. You're not going anywhere but insane. You know, mucho loco, right? I'm going somewhere in my mind. I'm going somewhere. Well, there's a time, I guess, for that. But no, he said, I've called you to go. I've called you to advance. I've called you to move. And not everybody moves at the same speed, but everybody should be going. Notice that you should go and bring. So you go and bring something. What are you supposed to bring? Fruit. It's right there. That you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Not only was Peter's purpose to bring people to the Savior, but it was also for him to live with eternity in view. Eternity in view. How many of us many times get caught up in temporal when we need to be thinking of the eternal? So, the person of the call. Number one, the calling. The person of the call. Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus Christ has not stopped calling? He's calling you. He's calling me. The purpose of his calling us is to go and bring forth fruit. So number one, the calling. Number two, this goes right along with what we were just saying. Number two is the leaving. The leaving. That goes right along with that thought of going, right? When you're going, you're leaving a certain place when you're going. You start at home in their day, and then you go to work, you left home. When you go home from work, you left work. You understand what I'm saying? The leaving, look at verse number 20. And they straightway left. Left. So God, Jesus Christ, the calling on Peter and Andrew was, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now they have a decision to make. Notice how quickly they made that decision. That's that word straightway. You see that there? The word straightway. That means immediately. Immediately. There was no debate about it. There was no questioning of it. There was no, what am I going to do with this tackle box? What am I going to do with this boat? What am I going to do with these fish? What am I going to do with these nets? What am I going to tell my parents? What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. No. Immediately, straightway, there was a leaving. When we think about marriage, the idea of this leaving is also part of marriage, right? For when a man gets married to a woman, right? That's how we do it in the Bible, right? A man marries a woman, all right? Let's not forget that. But when a man marries a woman, the Bible says he leaves father and mother. He leaves father and mother, and he cleaves to his wife. And they become one flesh. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 tells us about that. Shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The husband is not truly one with his bride until he emotionally leaves behind his father and his mother. It doesn't mean he doesn't love his dad and love his mom anymore, but it means that now that relationship that he had with them takes on a whole new way of life because now he is married and in one and in tune with his wife. This is the same thought, this leaving is necessary if we're going to be the disciple God wants us to be. In fact, we just talked about this one biblical example, but I want to take us back there, okay? Go in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We just looked at this, several Wednesday nights ago, all right? But it's a good reminder in case you missed it or in case, like me, you forgot already, all right? It happens. Look at 1 Kings 19, and we're looking now at the story of Elijah and Elisha, okay? And Elisha's ministry is coming to a close, all right? And look at verse 20. The Bible says, and he left the oxen. He is Elisha. Now, you have your Bible there in the context. You'll see that. And ran after Elijah and said unto him, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, Elisha, and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Elisha left some things behind. Elisha didn't want there to be anything for him to come back to, so to speak. So the leaving here is pictured in Elisha's life. The leaving here in Simon's life, in Peter's life, in Andrew's life, is the fact that they immediately followed what the Lord wanted them to do. So let's look at a couple of things. What did Peter and Andrew have to leave behind? I believe they're the same things you and I have to leave behind if we're going to be a disciple. Well, I want you to understand something. We're not talking about getting saved. We're talking about someone who's already saved but wants to go to the next level. They want to be a disciple. They want to follow Jesus all the time. Now, let's be honest. That's difficult to do, follow Jesus all the time. Why? Because there's so many things. Remember, there's so many things calling for us. There's so many things wanting my attention. Some of them aren't wrong, okay? But we've got to make sure that we're listening to His call first. He is the person of the call. But then when He calls, there's going to have to be a leaving. Number one, letter A, the leaving of earthly pursuits. The leaving of earthly pursuits. In verse 20, the Bible says, and they straightway left their nets. That was Peter's earthly pursuit. Now, I'm going to say it later on, and it doesn't matter to say it two times, but we are not saying today in this lesson that every Christian is supposed to leave their work and go serve God full time. I'm not saying that. But I will say this. We are lacking full-time Christians. We're lacking. I'm already getting ahead, so that's fine. We need more full-time Christians. I did not say we need more pastors and missionaries and laborers, yes, we need more laborers, 100%. But I'm saying we need more full-time Christians. That Sunday is what Sunday is. It is the Lord's day. That every day belongs to the Lord. That my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That every penny I have was from God, and that He deserves the tithe, that He deserves the offering. I'm just saying that we want to give the gospel full-time Christians. Christianity is not one day a week. It's 7 days a week. That's what we need in 2020. We need some more full-time Christians. We need some people that will be willing, like these men, to leave behind. Yes, we need some that will answer the call to serve God full-time. We need to send out another missionary from Anchor Baptist Church. We need to send some more men and women to Bible college, whether it's in-person, online, doesn't matter. We need some more people enrolling in Faith Bible Institute. Hey, by the way, I talked to somebody yesterday. Good chance, another new student in Faith Bible Institute. That'd be 3 new students for this coming semester. There's still time for you to enroll. I'm just saying, in a day in which we have less and less soldiers for God, we need more Christians to say, I want to live for God full time. I want to be a full time Christian. Well, it's going to cause us to get out of our comfort zone. These guys were so used to taking those nets, throwing them out, bringing them in. You know, fish don't talk back, right? Have you ever heard a fish talk? Well, anyway, I guess we've seen maybe a movie, a cartoon where a fish talk. But in real life, we know they don't talk. They make noise, and some of them do spit hooks out every once in a while. They're pretty smart when you're trying to reel them in, and they spit the hook out, and you lose that fish. Here's Peter, his whole career, dealing with slimy fish that they're just swimming into the net. He's bringing them in, on and on it goes. And now, though, he's gonna butt heads head on with the devil himself. Why? Because he's following Jesus Christ. You see, when you serve God full-time as a full-time Christian, I'm not saying going to Africa or Asia or wherever. I'm saying just going here in Vancouver, going to work tomorrow morning with the attitude of I'm a full-time Christian. I'm going representing the King of Kings. Don't think for a minute that Satan's just going to say, oh, wow, I'm going to leave that guy alone. No, he's going to send every demon possible, every discouragement possible. But remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, yes, Peter had his ups. Peter had his downs. Oh, but I love the life of Peter. I love his testimony. I love how even when he disappointed the Lord, he got right with God, preached that great sermon that we learned about several weeks ago. But he had to leave behind some things. He had to leave behind, letter A, earthly pursuits. What is it that you're pursuing right now that God would not be wanting you to pursue? You need to set it aside and say, okay, God, where do you want? What do you want for me? We need to hold loosely the things of this world. I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I remember, we tell this story in our home several times, but you remember back in 2010 when the Olympics came around, and we said, okay, we're going to go downtown on one Friday night. We didn't go to any events, but it would have been nice, but that's okay. But we're just going to walk around and mill around and kind of, you know, see what's going on down there. And we were in this big group of people, and the five of us, and then all of a sudden, where's Emma? Where's Emma? I think I wasn't holding tightly enough to her hand. I was holding loosely to her hand. In that case, I shouldn't have been holding loosely to her hand. We found her. Don't worry, she's here right now. So yes, we did find her. Okay, but wow, you talk about an adrenaline rush! All these people. Where's Emma? You know, I wasn't holding tightly enough to her hand. You know what? We have too many Christians today that are holding tightly to the things that don't amount for anything in eternity. We need to be a little bit looser when it comes to things like that, and hold a little bit tighter to the things of God and the will of God and what God wants for your life and my life, leaving behind earthly pursuits. God does not call us all to full-time Christian work, but he does call us all to be full-time Christians. Letter B, there's the leaving of personal ties. The leaving of personal ties. Sometimes harder than leaving things is leaving the people we love. Peter and Andrew, they weren't just asked to leave their profession. This was a family business. They were asked to leave their lifetime friends, co-workers, co-laborers, family. They did it without hesitation. What a testimony. I cannot help but think of the over 30 missionary families that we support at Anchor Baptist Church. Thank you very much, by the way, for your continuing to give and get that faith promise in, however you filled out the card, monthly, weekly, whatever, bi-weekly. Thank you for doing that. To God be the glory. We're ahead in our missions giving, and we're ahead in our general fund, and we thank him for it. But when you think about leaving, you do sometimes immediately think about some of our missionaries that are in places all over the world, and especially right now, very difficult. If they even wanted to come back to North America to be with family, that it would be very difficult. And we think about how they've gone to this country or that country and this village and this mountain and this community, and they're following what? They're following God's call. And they did leave behind earthly pursuits. And they did leave behind, in this case, some personal ties. You know what? I don't think it always is that we go to immediately always only, excuse me, that we only go to the missionary. You know, sometimes in our personal life in which we live, if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, there might be some personal ties that we need to let go of right now. You know, there's people in your life, possibly, that when you're around them, they don't influence you to do right, to think right. Maybe you need to really take a look at who you have surrounding you. Where are your personal ties? Again, I'm not saying be unkind. I'm not saying be mean. I'm saying, look, if we're going to be the disciple that God wants us to be, we're going to have to eliminate, we're going to have to make sure that there's nothing in front of, remember, the highest calling is to follow God's will. The highest calling is to glorify God. The highest calling is to honor Him with all we say and do. So leaving behind some personal ties. So there's the calling. There's the leaving. Lastly, there's the following. The following. Verse 20 says, and followed Him. Followed Him. When you're following someone, you're typically going what direction? Forward, right? When you're following someone. So, Jesus said, follow me. He's leading the way, and they're following after Him. They're moving forward. If we're going to be a disciple, we're going to have to move forward. We're going to have to follow God's will. We're going to have to follow God's word. We're going to have to follow, and I'm not saying this to anything about me, but we're going to follow the pastor as the pastor follows God. It's not about Ben Turner. It's about the office of pastor. And so we follow the pastor as the pastor follows God. And this is done by faith. Do you know that the Christian life is simple? Here it is. Follow Christ. That's it. Because if I follow Christ, I will be the most godly husband that I can be, because I'm following Christ. I'll be the most godly dad that I can be, because I'm following Christ. I'll be the most godly under-shepherd that I can be. Why? Because I'm following Christ. The problem is, I want to follow Christ, but then the flesh gets in the way sometimes, and I begin to follow me. And that's when I have problems as a husband and as a dad and as an under-shepherd. But the Christian life is really simple. Jesus said, follow me. Letter A, following always requires faith. Hey, Abram, I want you to leave home and I want you to go somewhere. Wow, you talk about faith. Hey, Moses, I want you to go, I want you to leave the palace and I want you to go to the wilderness. Hey, Gideon, I know you're the least and all that, but I want you to lead the people. I want you to get a trumpet and a lamp. Hey, Daniel, I want you to stand by faith, and I want you to go against the rules of the land, and I want you to continue to pray and follow God's law in a God-forsaken area. And on it goes, men and women all throughout the pages of Scripture, and missionaries and laymen and pastors and people all throughout history. Simply this, following requires faith. Do you have faith today? Do you need more faith? Well, faith comes in the Word of God. Get in the Bible more and your faith will increase. See, when we follow, it requires faith. And then letter B, faith replaces fear. Faith replaces fear. Now, we don't see it in here because there's not a whole lot of information, but think about it. Standing in front of Peter this day is the Master, Jesus Christ. He's asking him to leave behind his job. He's asking him to leave behind what is familiar to him. And he's asking him to follow him. He does not guarantee him anything at this point of safety. He does not guarantee him any comfort. And by the way, he doesn't guarantee us that either. But he guarantees his presence. You know, we as Christians in modern day, right now, North America, we're kind of spoiled. Not kind of, we are. You realize that Christians have been persecuted since the beginning of it all. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ is with us. When He says, follow me, He's right there. So keep following Him. You might come into a difficult time. Follow Him by faith, and faith will replace fear. In Mark chapter 4 and verse number 40, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I'm going to read this statement to you. We're just about done. If a Christian follows Christ's call, the devil will do all he can, and I kind of related to this earlier, the devil will do all he can to immediately put doubts and fears in the mind of that individual. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to do the will of God for my life. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to answer that highest call that God has for me. Again, the devil's going to do everything he can to put doubt and fear into your mind. But I love what the psalmist says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Oh, what time I am afraid, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Christ calls each of us to follow Him. He calls you and me right now to live a life of discipleship. He doesn't promise comfort. He doesn't promise safety, but He promises His presence. And if His presence goes with me, we can go. The song says, "If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere." And by the way, He said to the disciples, "I will never leave thee. I will not forsake thee." He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." How about today? Let's get in this journey with Peter each and every week that we have these lessons, and let's seek to be a full-time